And good afternoon, Central Texas. This is Tom McNew, and today I'm with Ben Martinez, who is a seminarian here in the Diocese of Austin. Ben is currently in his third year of formation at Notre Dame Seminary in New Orleans.
Good to be here with you.
Yeah, Ben, thanks for joining us this afternoon. Let's start with a little bit of a proper introduction. Tell everybody sure. about your background, your education, and so on and so forth.
Sure. So I was actually born in California. To two loving parents. I have an older brother, younger brother. Pretty traditional childhood.
Mm-hmm.
I think one kind of interesting little note from my childhood, I was actually baptized out in Hawaii.
Oh, wow.
So my godparents are from Hawaii. And yeah, I think.
So how did you get to Texas?
So after I graduated from college, I did a mission year in Houston as part of what's called the Jesuit Volunteer Corps.
Okay.
So I spent about a year and a half at a homeless shelter in downtown Houston.
Wow.
Working there, and lived in a community with six other folks that were kind of doing the same program
mm-hmm.
as I was. The Jesuit Volunteer Corps has this motto of kind of being ruined for life. After kind of doing that program, I realized that there was this tug that the Lord had put on my heart.
Yeah.
And at that point is when I kind of started considering maybe the Lord might have more for me.
Yeah. So this calling then, you know, talk us through that process,
sure.
that discernment.
Yeah. So kind of when I was in late middle school,
mm-hmm.
I kind of put my faith on the back burner and really wasn't practicing through most of high school.
Like a lot of us.
A lot of us.
You had graduated, using air quotes, from confirmation, uh-huh. and it was on to the next adventure.
Yes. Yeah. Kind of my last year my first kind of real moment where the Lord jumped in. So about a month after I graduated from high school, my dad went in for what I thought was a routine heart exam,
mm-hmm.
Learned that he had kind of a blockage.
Mm.
So he ended up going in for emergency surgery, open heart surgery. And I remember sitting in the waiting room and saying the first kind of honest prayer of my life.
Mm.
And it was, I don't believe that the Lord caused my father's, blockages or whatever, but the Lord does work in mysterious ways. And it did bring me back to my faith. It did kind of rattle me a little bit,
mm-hmm.
rattle me enough to kind of wake me up.
It's kind of like the classic example of the answer to the question, why do bad things happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one ever mm-hmm. wishes bad mm-hmm. things on our parents mm-hmm. or anyone else for that matter. But the result of that was bringing you back to the faith.
Yes, in a very powerful way.
Yeah, yeah. So so you had this kind of this, we'll call it a seminal moment.
Yes.
Yeah. And so what next then?
Yeah. So I went through kind of my college experience. I went to California Lutheran University in Thousand Oaks, California.
Oh, yeah.
I was studying political science at the time and ended up going on a mission trip down to El Salvador, and just kind of in that experience, I went to the chapel where now Saint Oscar Romero was martyred.
Yeah.
And there's a saying from Tertullian that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And never was that truer than in my life. You know, I saw these blood-soaked vestments and just realized in this moment of clarity that there was a truth to the Catholic faith and there's a truth worth dying for.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
So what year was that?
So that would have been in 2011.
Oh, wow.
I have kind of we were in El Salvador maybe about a week before President Obama was going to come in, and so security was kind of heightened,
yeah,
and all that. We were also there kind of for, I think it was the close to the 30th anniversary of of the martyrdom.
Mm, okay.
So it was during, right before Holy Week.
Yeah. How long were you down there?
We were there for about a week.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a week-long mission trip. Mm-hmm. It really kind of hammered home. The uh-huh. Lord put the final spike through your head.
Yeah. And kind of as I've learned about kind of St. Oscar Romero, it's very appropriate, I guess, to the Holy Week experience. So, he's been a real motivation as I've started seminary.
That's good. So you go back to California after this mission trip, mm-hmm. and then how did you get hooked up with the Jesuits?
So while I was down in El Salvador, we actually went to the University of Central America, UCA, and there was some of the Jesuit volunteers were actually there. We were learning about the Jesuit martyrs that got martyred during the Salvadorian Revolution.
Okay,
and they kind of put a bug in my ear, as it were, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And I started thinking about it. I had at that point applied and got into all the law schools I wanted to get into, but as I came back, you know, something was different. I came back a different person than I went.
Yeah. Seeking a different law.
Seeking a different law. Yeah. So, I ended up. I think at that point it was actually might have been past the application deadline.
Oh wow.
But I reached out to the Jesuit Volunteer Corps and they opened up a window for me to apply. And they ended up sending me out to Houston.
Was there other places that you could have gone besides Houston?
There was. So they send, I guess, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Houston. They actually have folks here in Austin now.
Okay.
San Antonio. There was folks in New Orleans and all across kind of the geographic south.
So really just kind of focused on some of the major metropolitan areas, the inner
Correct.
City.
The inner city.
Where the homeless and poor Correct. Seem to congregate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So as you're going through that, and how long, that was a year you said?
It was a year and a half.
Oh, and year and a half.
Okay. I think, during that experience, I started discerning again and had a kind of a powerful experience around Christmas time
mm-hmm.
of that year. So like I mentioned, I was working at a homeless shelter
mm-hmm.
and they had told us we weren't supposed to go home for Christmas, that we were supposed to kind of stay at our placement. And I was kind of getting a little down on myself.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was in a shelter, so, you know, a lot of the people were telling me it wasn't about, Christmas isn't about the presents, it's about being with family.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking to myself, shucks, I don't get to be with my family. But God had something in store for me.
Mm-hmm.
So on Christmas Eve, I'm sitting at the front desk of the intake desk of the shelter, and in walks this couple. And while she wasn't like 9 months pregnant,
mm-hmm.
I can tell she was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just hit me that I was playing innkeeper.
Yeah. Yeah.
On Christmas Eve. And I mean,
luckily there was room in the
there
inn.
There was room in the inn this time. Yes.
That's awesome. So after your year in Houston, then you kind of solidified your decision to join the priesthood.
So I had started kind of discerning at that point. I was kind of dipping my toe in the water, as it were. But to be honest, I think at that point, like I had the feeling in my heart that the Lord was calling me,
mm-hmm.
but I kind of ran like Jonah, as it were, and ended up going to Baylor for law school.
Okay.
I ended up going back to law school, finished it at Baylor, which is what brought me to the Austin Diocese.
Okay.
God had a plan all along.
Yeah.
I finished. While I was at Baylor, I continued kind of discerning. Father Daniel Liu was
mm-hmm.
was the pastor there at the student center.
Yeah.
And he really helped kind of push me along.
That's awesome.
And
he's a great priest.
He is, definitely.
Yeah.
The diocese is lucky to have him.
Amen. Amen.
I ended up practicing for about 6 years.
Practicing law
for about 6 years.
In the Belton area or in Waco?
So I first worked at a firm in Harker Heights.
Okay.
And then went out kind of on my own. Practiced indigent defense, so criminal defense and some mental health work.
Yeah.
And at that point, my the pastor at Christ the King, which is my home parish, encouraged me to apply for the permanent diaconate program.
Okay.
And so I started that.
This was Father John Kim?
This is Father John Kim.
Okay, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay, great.
So, yeah. Yeah, so I started that program, made it about a year in. I went for my annual formator review, met with them, and I was the youngest person in my class, the only person who had never been married. They said, you need to have a conversation with the vocations director. we think there might be something more.
A greater calling. Not that there's anything wrong with the diaconate.
No, I have a deep respect for
I don't want to sound like I'm disparaging any of our deacons out there.
I love the diaconate.
So you made this decision, I'm going to join the seminary. Why a diocesan priest versus joining a particular order or missionary focus?
So while I was in diaconal formation and just prior to that, I had actually, went on some come and sees with the, Dominicans and the Franciscans. I thought there might be a call to religious life. But my mind kept coming back to this diocese, that there was a sense of home here. There was a sense of, when I'm serving this people, I'm more fully myself, you know, than what I think I would have been in religious life.
So, what was the reaction of your friends and family when you said, "Hey, so that whole diaconate thing? I'm going to be a priest."
my brothers that were in my diaconal class, they were overjoyed.
Right.
You know, when I announced to them. I think my parents, they had kind of seen it coming.
Are they still in California?
They are still in California.
Yeah.
And I think that they were prepared to hear it. It was, I was a little nervous to tell my dad, when I graduated from law school, it was one of the happiest days of his life.
Oh, wow.
So I was a little, nervous to tell him and to tell the rest of my family. Growing up, my mom taught us, our first communion class, our CCD class. So, I figured that might be an easier conversation, but when I told my dad, he was overjoyed.
And what does your dad do for a living?
So he's retired now,
he
managed a chain of grocery stores.
Oh, wow.
Called Albertsons.
Yeah, yeah. I used to work for Albertsons.
Yeah.
They're not a sponsor yet.
Hopefully, God willing, one day.
That's funny. So really, you were nervous about it, but Mom and Dad were just overjoyed.
They were overjoyed. And actually, the way that it kind of played out was I learned that I had been accepted as a seminarian while they were visiting here.
Oh, wow.
Along with my godparents who were visiting and my grandfather.
Wow. The Lord has big
so
plans
they,
for you, my
they were
friend.
All present when Father Sang announced to Christ the King that that had been accepted. So.
Oh, he announced it during Mass.
He announced it right after Mass. Yeah,
oh, wow.
Just a look on my grandfather's face and on my parents' face.
Your grandparents live in California as well now?
My grandfather's out in California.
Okay.
The grandfather that was there is actually my only living grandfather now.
Okay. That's awesome.
My mom's dad, my other grandfather, actually passed away this past January.
Oh, wow.
Just a few weeks ago, and was able to go out for the funeral.
Oh, wow.
And it really confirmed my vocation for me.
Yeah. What a wonderful opportunity. May you rest in peace.
Yes.
So as you think back on these experiences with the Jesuits and even your brief stint as a lawyer, what kind of how do all these life experiences, mm-hmm. how do you think they're going to set you up to be a priest sure. in a parish?
Yeah, I think God's timing is perfect, and he works perfectly right straight with those crooked lines.
Mm-hmm.
I think everything was leading me kind of to this moment
yeah.
And to the moments that are to come. I think, you know, as a judge of volunteer corps, he was really working on my heart
mm-hmm.
to give me a pastor's heart and care for people
mm-hmm.
To help me to realize that it, you know, the faith isn't about rules or it's really about bringing people into encounter with the Lord.
Amen.
And I think that getting to sit with some of my clients in jail and in the hospitals has really prepared me to be a better confessor than I might otherwise be. Being able to stand in front of a jury, well, you know, not
sure.
a congregation, hopefully, is not judging you the same way that a jury is.
Oh, wait. You may be surprised.
I've heard things. but yeah, that's the experience that I'm yeah. looking forward to. Hopefully, it makes me a better homilist and people are able to benefit
Wonderful.
From that. Benefit from that.
So for our young men that are listening, what advice would you give them about this discernment process in the seminary?
So I think that my best advice is, just to take a step. Be willing to take a step. Talk to our vocations director. Have that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You never know what the Lord has in store for you. I think that starting seminary, don't wait till you have everything together.
Yeah.
Let the process work. I think that being in seminary with a group of guys who are striving after the Lord together is a wonderful experience.
Mm.
And yeah, I guess my best advice for folks is
trust
in the Lord.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And all else fails, give Father Greg Gerhardt a call.
Yes, definitely.
A little shout out to
he would love to hear from
vocations
him.
Director here in the Austin Diocese. Said, or you can go to the diocese webpage and I know there's a link in there for both men and women discerning the priesthood and or the religious life. So, I would echo your sentiment. Just trust in the Lord and
trust
just
the Lord.
You know, if you feel those tuggings, you know, and really it's for any ministry, especially the priesthood and in the religious life. But you know, just let him listen or
and
open your heart.
If I could say one more thing,
yeah,
I've had hard days in the seminary,
sure,
and I've had really enjoyable, fun days, but every single day has been worth it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I say the same thing about joining the army, but it's a whole different context. So what do you think is going to be, as you know, now you're in the third of 7 years, is that
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you're almost at the halfway point here. Mm-hmm. What do you think is going to be the hardest part as a priest?
I think honestly, you know, standing at the altar and realizing that the Lord is working through me, through all my imperfections, through all of my life experience, my own humanity, that the Lord has chosen me to, God willing, perhaps, one day call down the Holy Spirit and celebrate that sacrifice. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's an awesome.
Yeah. So what's going to be the easiest part?
I don't know how much of the priesthood is just easy. I think the most. I think
it's
the most
okay
enjoyable,
to say none of it.
I think the most enjoyable part is getting to be with people.
Yeah.
In the moments when perhaps they feel like they have nobody else to turn to. I think that's something that's drawn me. So one of my first experiences in seminary was doing street ministry and having somebody just come up to me and recognizing that I was a seminarian, that I wasn't not going to, you know, the conversation they were having with me was with me.
Yeah.
And I guess in a small way, with Christ as well. But that they were willing to share things with me because of the context that I was speaking with them. And that's something that's been very special to me.
You've got, it seems like you've got a wealth of experience of being able to listen to the, not just the, what people are saying, but the context in which they're saying that. And I think that will serve you well, in the priesthood. Again, God willing.
God willing. I hope so.
Yeah. So, what have you learned about yourself or your faith? Sure. That has kind of surprised you a little bit as you've been these first 3 years or so.
Yeah, I've had a kind of real encounter with my own, I guess, brokenness, my own humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And praise be to God, the diocese sent me to a program in Tallahassee, Florida. I don't know if you're familiar with the John Paul II Healing Center. With Dr. Bob Schutz and I think his brother Bart, they come to the diocese frequently and do what's called healing the whole person for folks. And I was able to do this experience and get rid of all the baggage that I was carrying into seminary.
And how long was that? Was that process?
It was a month long program in June of my first summer of seminary.
Wow. June in Tallahassee, Florida.
June in Tallahassee, Florida is good, yeah.
Yeah. No humidity down there.
Oh, none at all. I mean, I was coming from New Orleans, so it
was there you go. Yeah. So. Not a big change.
Not a big change.
So that month that you spent in Tallahassee kind of helped leave, for lack of a better term, some of the worldliness behind. Is that something that's a normal part of a seminary? Is that just something that you may be asked to do?
The program, I was kind of, I had asked the diocese if I'd be able to participate in this. I'd attended some of the programs through the John Paul II Institute. While I was in diaconal formation and then just prior to that. So I was familiar with their work. They're a little bit more on the kind of charismatic side. Mm. So I enjoyed kind of learning how to pray with people for inner healing, how to address my own kind of healing for within the context of my relationship with the seminary and with the diocese. And
wonderful.
Yeah, it was a wonderful experience.
Yeah, yeah. So you're finishing up your third year?
Correct.
Is that right?
That's correct.
So when does the year actually end for you?
So we finish mid-May.
Okay.
And then come back, and there should be some diaconal ordinations in May.
Okay.
I will unfortunately be missing the priestly ordination this year because I'm going to be doing Spanish immersion. In Mexico.
Oh, wow. During your quote-unquote summer break.
During my summer, yeah. Yeah. So we have a summer assignment kind of each summer. The first one for me was the John Paul II Healing Center. Last year, I was in Omaha, Nebraska for the summer doing the Institute for Priestly Formation.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Yeah. So it's a program that focuses on kind of the discernment of spirits. Mm-hmm. We have excellent faculty.
Wow.
We were there. We had excellent food there.
Yeah.
And we were there for the College World Series.
College World Series, yes.
Which is one of the highlights. Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Omaha in June, but that's a different conversation for a different day. So God willing, in about 4 years, you'll be ordained.
Yes, sir. Yeah. God willing.
And, look into the crystal ball here, a little bit. And where do you think you'll go? I mean, I know it's, to coin a phrase, needs the diocese, and it's all up to the bishop and where he needs people. And, but any ideas as to, well, let me ask it a different way. What would, if you could make a choice, let's say in the Army we have what we call a dream sheet, where you fill out, I want to go here and I want to do this, and the Army says that's great, and they send you somewhere else.
Sure.
But if you had an opportunity to fill out a dream sheet, Where would you choose? Yeah. Or what would you choose? Let me ask it that way.
I'm going to give a little bit of a non-answer. I've fallen in love.
As I fully expected.
I've fallen in love with this diocese. Even just driving here from Austin, right? We have a very beautiful diocese. Yeah, there are a lot of very beautiful parishes. And I'd be lucky to be placed in wherever the bishop needs. On the day of ordination, you put your hands in the hands of the bishop.
That's right.
Promise obedience, and wherever he asks. I think one of the things that has been kind of interest to me would potentially on my days off working with like Catholic Charities, helping do, using my law license.
Yeah.
Some
of the social outreach.
Yeah. I've done in the past. I've been able to go out to Gatesville, do some prison ministry, to Community One Village in Austin, and do some outreach. But
wonderful, wonderful. Well, Ben, thank you very much for taking some time, and I know you're gonna rush back for other duties within within the diocese here. So any final thoughts or words of advice for our listeners?
No, just trust in the Lord. Amen. He's got a wonderful plan.
And then what can we do for you?
Pray.
How can we help you?
Pray.
All right.
We seminarians, we can use all the prayers we can get. I think, every month, just knowing that there are people in the diocese praying for me, it just brings joy to my heart and encouragement. I think that, every once in a while getting a note in the mail from a parishioner at a parish I've just recently learned existed.
Yeah.
I think that's something that is really, knowing that there's grade school kids and women who pray the rosary every single day for us. And just knowing that there's people here that are thinking of us and praying for us.
That's wonderful. Great. Well, we will certainly keep you in our prayers along with all of your other classmates men and women there, or men in the seminary and women that are going through their training for the consecrated life. We have we're blessed to have relationship with a couple of different orders of sisters that pray for all of our donors and listeners. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to add your name to our prayer book.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
And God bless you, my brother.
God bless. It's been a pleasure to be with you.
And thank you very much for your time.